Amen. May the Lord add his blessing onto the reading of his word tonight. We're looking in particular at a sentence that we have in verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 1, and the verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. Who were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Again, we'll bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, take thy word and apply it unto our heart, our mind, our conscience, and may our feet walk in tandem with truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would imagine there are few more comforting truths in the Bible than the glorious one that we find here in 1 Peter 1 and the verse 5. How we have it here that God is guaranteeing to keep his children from this current moment in time until they arrive safely in heaven. If you tonight have received Christ as your Savior and are following him as your Lord, then the line that we have here that we're turning the spotlight on tonight in 1 Peter 1 and 5 is a line that is applicable to you. It describes you right now. You are one who is kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now, I was thinking that's going to be very comforting for the new convert to get a grasp of that. And over in the book of Jude in the verse 24, and we look the first number of references, and then after that, I'll be putting the references on screen, and you, if you wish, can jot them down, but we'll not be turning for sake of time. Otherwise, that'll maybe triple the time that we would be taking tonight. So we'll look at the first three, and then beyond that, I will simply give the reference. But for that child of God who was just converted, verse 24 of Jude comes with this promise, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Not only for the new convert is this promise given that the Lord will keep you, but you'll find it in 2 Timothy 1 and the verse 12 as well. So the second text that we're going to turn to is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 12. And for someone who's already on the way and gathering a bit of experience and the wheels have gone round on the Christian road for quite some time possibly, here's what Paul says by way of great assurance. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to, here's the word again, keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So there's a promise from heaven to the earth for the new convert. The Lord is able to keep you from falling. For those who are along the way, what you have committed unto him, he is most definitely well able to keep. And for those who are coming close to the end, and you will know that this second letter to Timothy was written at the end of the Apostle Paul's life, and he talks about ready to be offered, the day of his departure was at hand. So he's looking onto the glory land here. And what does he say? For those who, like him, are coming close to the end, 2 Timothy 4, the verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will, here's the same word again, preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, along the way, just starting out in the road as a new convert, having come through some experiences in your walk with God already, or those coming, and who can tell? We could all be right close to the end. We can't predict the moment of our departure, but those coming close to the end, again, this promise is coming in. The Lord will keep you. And so we have said here, God guarantees to keep his children from this present moment of time until we arrive safely in the heaven that he has prepared for us. And you know, our Lord Jesus Christ prayed right down this particular line in that great high priestly prayer of his in John chapter 17 and the verse 15. He prayed that the Father would keep those who were devoted unto him, walking in fellowship with him. And so in 1 Peter 1 and 5, our text tonight, Peter is giving the exact same emphasis, and he's highlighting and underlining and emphasizing this wonderful truth. Now, who's he talking to? It's always important when you look at a text and you see, well, this is chapter 1, verse 5. Something has come before this and something is going to come after this. There's context, there's surroundings, and who are we talking about here who is going to be kept? If we look at verse 2 and 3 and 4, then you'll see how they provide a platform for verse 5. Those people who are the chosen of God, who are being sanctified by him, who have been cleansed by him, born again by his Spirit, who are bound for heaven. And so the Lord's keeping power, we are being told here, it avails both sides of the veil. This side on earth, that side in heaven, we will be kept not only during our earthly pilgrimage, but we'll be kept eternally as well. And in Philippians 1 and 6, we have, he which hath begun a good work in you will also perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But what about all the months and the years and everything else that is intervening before we reach heaven? How can we be kept by the power of God, day by day? Notice the quote. The Lord is not only keeping heaven for us, but he is keeping us for heaven. And what a blessed reality that is. On to our first main point tonight, which is right here, the reality of God's keeping. The reality of God's keeping. And I've obviously used a template that bounces that right off screen within about 5 seconds of it going up. The reality of God's keeping. The Greek has a term, and they would be, if they were reading this as it would be in the Greek language when it was first given, our New Testament, they would be reading this, who are kept by the power of God. They would read it, who are kept in the power of God. In the power of God. And they would discern right away what was going on there. That is actually a military word, a military metaphor. The thought is, there you are, but you're not on your own. You are garrisoned all around, surrounded on every side by soldiers. And all of that garrison has been sent with this commission, protect that particular person. See that nothing ill happens to them. So what a tremendous power is available to us as we go along our earthly pathway. It's nothing other than what Peter says it is. It is the power of God. When we think of God and when we think of power, his power, then we think of his power in creation. We think of his power in providence. How? Well, the tiniest circumstance, he gets a thread of it and he pulls it right into the place that he wants it to be at that particular point in time. What awesome power he has to be able to do that, and his power in redemption. Illustrated, of course, in Exodus 12, when that firstborn among the children of Israel was kept alive, secure, safe. Why? Because it was surrounded by the application of the blood of that lamb. And that's the picture, military garrison. You are surrounded, protected by none else and no one less than the very God of heaven and earth, kept by God's power. That's the reality of the power of God being kept by it. But then secondly, and you can look at the screen because it's going to disappear again very quickly, we have the radius about God's power. So the circle, what does it encompass? What areas do we see it active in? The radius about God's power for us. In what sense do I need, in what sense do you need to be kept today by God's power? Well, you need to be kept from the power of the flesh within. And we realize, and the more honest and humble we are before God, the more we will acknowledge this old flesh isn't dead. It's still alive, Romans 7. It's still fighting and combating, and it's on a campaign. And the campaign is to destroy us, bring us down, trip us up every corner that we go round, cause that old Adamic nature to express itself again. And sometimes it even surprises us how bad it can be, the kind of things that it suggests, the thoughts that it implants, the actions that it would push us towards. And it's powerful and it's assertive, and we need to be kept by the power of God from the power of our flesh within. And then we need to be kept from the power of the world without. There are many, many influences out there. The world is always trundling out. You only check out the adverts on television and you'll find, oh, your life would be so improved if you had this, and here's something else that you need to think about, and here's a route that you ought to go down, and it's always alluring and promising excitement, and you're incomplete until you go down this particular route. And so there's that power of the world without. And also, in testifying to Jesus Christ, you know the power of the world to shut down your testimony and to close your mouth. And we've all come away from conversations with people where we've berated ourselves and beaten ourselves up because we have thought to ourselves, I should have spoken a word for Jesus Christ there. What a golden opportunity I missed. And you know, chances like that don't come straight after one another again. And maybe do not return at all. And so we're in combat with the power of the flesh within, the power of the world without. And we need to be kept by God's power from these things, and also from the power of the devil around. We're old-fashioned enough to believe that there is a real, literal devil who still is in existence, who still has a game plan and a battle plan, and that is to counteract all that Christ is doing through his church here upon this earth. He is a powerful foe, always looking for our downfall. And sometimes, as Paul warns us, he comes in this guise like an angel of light, and we're sucked in. Some of those on the Armenian side at the moment are saying in the conflict with Azerbaijan that the Azerbaijanis are coming in wearing Armenian uniforms. And that's always a difficulty if they're coming in there in disguise, looking like you, pretending to be what they're not. We're on your side. We're all for you. And before you know it, you've collapsed in compromise. The defense is down and you're overrun and your positions are taken out. Other times, the devil doesn't worry about disguise. He comes in like that roaring lion, and you hear him before you see him, and he's trying, same thing, to devour us, 1 Peter 5 and the verse 8. So I need kept by the power of God from the power of flesh within, from the power of the world without, from the power of the devil around. I need this kind of protection and defense. But not only am I asking the question where here, I need to ask another question. What? What parts of me need this protection and the guardianship of God? Well, my mind needs to be kept in peace. And in a day like we're living in, when fear is on every hand, and whenever we turn on the news, we have another layer of the fear coming in, our minds need to be kept in peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Keep him whose mind is stead on thee. Lord, that's a beautiful word. That's a wonderful promise. I just wish I could squeeze that joy out of that every day that I live. And may our mind be kept in peace by the power of God. Not only our mind needs to be kept, but our heart needs to be kept from fear. And in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, for example, we have that word whereby the Lord promises, saying, "Fear not, I will be with thee." And further down the chapter, he's going to hold our hand, saying unto us, "Fear not." Because those hearts of ours, they can very readily go into a flutter, and they can feel for fear, as the Bible describes it in one passage. And we need God's keeping power. Keep my mind in peace. Keep my heart from fear. And not only that, but I need my will kept as well. My will needs to be kept under control. Because I will come with my plan, and I will have my scheme, and I will emphasize that as what fits me best, and it'll be an elaborate thing, and it'll be an exciting thing, and I'll want to do that. But God will say, "Excuse me, I've sent you on this mission. This is where I want you to go." And so in submission, we need to come as Christ did in Gethsemane, illustrating the point for us. "Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Lord, my will needs to be taken down and down and down so that it is now in submission unto thy will. And he will keep that under control. May the Lord take control of our will, and then it will be in the right place entirely. But not only our will and our heart and our mind, our whole spirit and soul and body needs to experience the keeping power of God. Everything about us needs to be kept. We are not able of ourselves to keep our spirit, our soul, and our body, and therefore we commit ourselves into the hands of one who is. Final major point, and again it'll be momentarily up on screen, the relationship with God's power. And just to defy me, it's going to stay there. The relationship with God's power. The channel through which God keeps us. What is it? Well, what does Peter say it is in 1 Peter 1, verse 5? He says, "We are kept by the power of God." Here's the relationship. Through faith. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So we are guarded by God's power operating through our faith. How does that work? In every experience of your life and mine, the Lord is providing his keeping power. And our faith, remember the empty hands of faith analogy. Our empty hands, in faith, we are reaching out as he is providing his power. And we are taking what God is giving to us. It's like the delivery van. You'll see it all about today. Sainsbury's or Tesco or wherever else, Asda. Coming in, and here the man comes, and he brings out crate after crate after crate to the house that he's going to. And of course, you've paid for it, but you're receiving what you have been given here. And God is coming with his provisions, and we are receiving that, kept by the power of God through faith. So, what's our responsibility in our relationship here? It's to trust in him. It's to lean entirely upon him. And he's saying to us, "Trust in me, and I'll keep you. As you trust me, I'll sustain you. I'll support you. When you're tempted to sin, when you're becoming liable to fear, when you're even dropping down towards those depths of despair, look to me and trust in me, and you will be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." How does God accomplish this? Providing this power, and we with the empty hands, taking it on board. But how does God bring these provisions our way and keep us by his power. He does it by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within. Keeps us by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit within. Every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have not just have someone by our side, someone we can call alongside to help us in the days of need, but he is actually inside the Christian, there to keep us in every circumstance of temptation, every day of testing, every time of trial. That's the whole context here in 1 Peter chapter 1. He goes on to talk about the trial, and that's why you need to be kept in those heavy testing days of great trial so that deliverance comes. How does he do it? By the indwelling Holy Spirit within. He keeps us also, a point that isn't often emphasized, but by the angels without. By the angels without. He shall give us angels. Even the devil knew that. Oh, sure, you can easily assent to what I'm pressing upon you here, because doesn't the Bible say he shall give his angels charge over thee to bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone? God does say that. And it is true. And it does happen in daily life. Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, and also Hebrews 1, 13 and 14, where we're told these angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. So he keeps us high by the indwelling Holy Spirit within, by the angels without. And he keeps us also by the power of his word. And we'll pick that up from Proverbs. And since it's going to be our last reference, then we'll turn to this final one in Proverbs and the 6th chapter. Proverbs chapter 6. And you're looking at the verse 20 there, through to the verse 24. Proverbs 6, verse 20. The 24, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattering of the tongue of a strange woman. And they're twice over in that short passage in Proverbs 6, 20 to 24, the word keep thee, it's repeated in there, and it's God's word, his commandment, that does that keeping. And so the Lord is saying, I am your keeper. Psalm 121, what a brilliant psalm that is about the keeping power of our God. And I guarantee to keep you, he's saying. It's my purpose. This is my plan to keep you. Your part is simply to trust in me. And as you trust in me, you'll be walking along the road that Peter here has transcribed. You'll be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. He will keep me, the hymn writer said, till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where those loved ones I shall meet. Sing, oh sing, that wondrous story. And with Peter, and due to his words that he has written here under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, with Peter, we can rejoice, kept by the power of God. Let's bow in prayer. As many as possible do pray. We have some pointers here for prayer that we have put up again on screen for a sense of the Lord's presence and blessing at our Remembrance Sunday services coming up this weekend, for the online mission that is being planned for the Christmas week, night by night, Monday to Friday, 7 o'clock to 7:30. then do pray still for Dr. Alan Kearns, for Billy McCulloch, and for others, and there are many of them who are ill. Think of those especially in our own congregation. And then for the revival of the church and the salvation of the lost. I'm not moving that off the screen because we need to keep that as a point for prayer every time. Do pray for that situation over in the Armenian territories at this moment in time, under attack by Islamic terrorists and all the rest of it. And do pray as well for the outcome of what is going on in America, that election. And no doubt there will be great ramifications on that one. But those are just some suggested points for prayer, and you will think of others and bring them before the Lord, as many as possible, please. Let's bow in prayer.